You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, well, welcome back to hour number three. It's Wednesday, so that means we do this thing we call the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren and talk radio, and we just kind of hash it out for a little while, ask each other questions. We don't even know what the questions are in advance, so we just see what our thoughts are on general topics of concern. So let me just call the roll. From FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Radio Show, and oh, by the way, the editor-in-chief of 1819 News, Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you, sir. And then also, from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN up in Huntsville, program director, morning show guy, and also writes for Yellowhammer News, Dale Jackson. Are you here?
Up.
There you are. Stand at ease. All right. I pronounce a quorum. Boomer, hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-da-da-da. All right, we are back, and I think thinking back over the last few weeks, I do believe Jeff Poor goes first this time. What you got, Jeff Rowe?
On a scale of from 1 to 10, how excited are you for this evening's Republican presidential debate?
Dale, you go first.
836.
Woo!
Yep, that's what I'm going with. 836. I cannot be more excited. I think this is going to be the time where they really start sticking it to Trump and turning this thing around. I can't wait.
What's going to happen is Dale's
DeSantis fanboy.
Oh, yeah. This is it. This is it. This is it. This is where it finally all starts to make sense.
What I heard is Dale's going to watch it six beers in, and that's going to be the determining factor for him right there.
No. Me and Yaffe are actually doing a live stream, which should be a complete disaster. So you should check that out a little later.
Who's asking for that? Hey, no,
nobody.
Who wants to Yaffe Dale Jackson? Somebody has to because they're doing it.
The same people who said, give me a Jeff Poor radio show.
Wow, let me jump in here real quick.
There would be no Jeff Poor radio show without Dale Jackson.
Let me jump in here real quick.
I'm aware.
We do know. So the bottom line is, am I excited about it? I'm okay with it. I think this is going to be more lively because there's some guys that need to try and break out. The one that I'm more stoked about right now is the DeSantis versus Newsom debate for next month. But we'll see how that goes. Anyway, that's where I'm at. I'm like lukewarm on the fact that we're having it. I know we need it. I do think somebody's going to have their moment of zing zing. And I do think they're also going to pick on Trump a lot tonight because he ain't there. All right. Dale, what do you got?
Well, you know, here's my question. 1819 News did a great story about this. A private investigator has, I guess, come up with a book where there is some pretty graphic stuff going on. And for some reason, Tim Lockett of the Anderson Star, I'm sorry, Tim Lockett of the Unemployment Line, said that he has no problem with this. And, you know, he's got a book full of naked animals that he'd like everyone to take a look at, which is weird. And he's then attacking the person who brought this to the attention of the government body, you know, petitioned their government, saying that they got fired for not getting a COVID vaccine. I mean, this is the response from some of the media when people raise questions they don't like to try to destroy that person. And I think it's rather funny to watch Tim Lockett out himself as a zoophile.
Yeah, the fact that Tim has a bestiality book on his shelf needs to be addressed. But I think it's also apparent that he's worked for the Anniston Red Star for a long time.
He's a spanking.
Yeah, just okay, I'll leave that to you. But the reality is, I saw that this morning, and I saw your, I think it was Jeff, I think you had a Twitter back and forth with him earlier, and you actually posted pictures and said, so they have pictures like this in your book or something like that. That book, by the way, in your article this morning, I read it, that book that private investigator from, what, down in Baldwin County, I guess, Fairhope,
yes.
Found and then brought to the attention of the local officials. There is zero reason why that book should be in any library. It's trash. And she pointed out correctly, I think it is child pornography. And some elected officials better get some chutzpah and start taking care of this, or we're going to wind up seeing child porn charges being made against public officials who take no stand on it. Jeff, your thoughts on your own article?
Why do we keep talking about Tim Lockett? That's what bothers me. Look, I know I'm part of the problem here, and I take full responsibility. But, like, why is this guy around? Why is he thing? How does he?
I can answer that for you.
He has a job. Wait, hold on, I'm not done. He has a job at Jacksonville State University as a journalism instructor.
Which alone is scary. But what is your pray tell, Dale? What is your answer to this?
He is unencumbered by the pretending that he used to have to do, where he could pretend to be a journalist and be calling it right down the middle. He doesn't even have to pretend anymore. Now he can go as hard as he wants to the left and basically doesn't have to pretend to be a centrist anymore.
Because basically he's just teaching journalists now. He's not really one. Yeah.
And the other thing about him is this, like, he and Brian Lyman used to just sit in the press gallery and just stare at everybody. Yeah. Like, those two were just, like that was like Bo and Luke Duke of just the insufferable right there.
Anyway, there are good people still in journalism, but I'm not a Tim Lockett fan.
Oh, yeah, name them.
Well, there's this guy named Jeff Poor.
No, he's a scumbag. Who else?
Yeah. Oh, God. All right. Third
most trusted journalist. Yeah, he's good.
Third question.
Not Neil Jackson.
Third question. Here we go. You ready? So I'm going to do a segment here after the Grand Council's over, but I want your thoughts on it before I get there. So next month we are apparently going to have two governors, one of whom is running for president and one who everybody believes is trying to run for president, having a debate. I mean, I've never seen this happen before, where you basically got two governors saying, my state's better than yours. No, it's not. Nuh-uh, it's on you. And they're going to have a debate. Sean Hannity's going to moderate it, allegedly. But Governor Gavin Newsom and Governor Ron DeSantis. My question, though, is everybody believes that Newsom's waiting in the wings for Biden to die. And everybody believes that DeSantis is doing the same thing for Trump. Are we looking at a sideline event or the main event? What are we looking at in that debate? Jeff, you first.
I'm not as excited about this as you are. I like I said, these are two guys I think that aren't quite there yet. They both have their reasons, but it's a sideline event, I guess, to answer your question.
Sideline for now. I think it could be a foreshadowing, but I'll let Dale tell me what he thinks because he's anti-Trump anyway. What do you got?
Why am I anti-Trump? I'll vote for the guy. I mean, I'm not in love with the idea that he's running, but you know, I'm not going to oppose him. I'll tell you this. I'm looking forward to this just to see how it's kind of going to play. I don't think it really means all that much except for both these guys to get on TV and start punching away on the people that they don't like. And I think there's an appetite for that, and I think Sean Hannity's going to do pretty big numbers doing that.
I think he's going to do very big numbers doing it. And I'll be honest with you, you know, the number two guy in the polls has been, way back there, but still number two, has been DeSantis all along. Trump's the de facto nominee right now, but you know, there's a lot of space between now and the actual voting day or voting month or whatever state you live in.
We should have more of these, to be honest. I mean, we should have more when people disagree where they sit across from each other and have to defend themselves. Like Tim Lockett should stop messing around with kids and furries, and he should start talking to us. I think that would benefit everyone involved.
So what you're telling me,
I am prepared to
moderate the Jeff Poor Tim Lockett debate. Just so you know, I think that's fair,
and pitch
I
it will. To him.
Let's pitch it. I'll get out there on Twitter here as soon as we're on next break.
Whoa!
I'm prepared to moderate the debate.
Why don't we have America's most trusted man in
Dale and I, because you're a freaking editor-in-chief, you carry this big ostentatious title like it means something in journalism. So I think we're going to say that you got to be the guy that debated. We know you will.
I'll be more than happy to do it, former state senator.
All right, so Dale and I are going to moderate. I'm going to go ahead and volunteer that on social media. In the meantime, my own question is that I'm a firm believer that what we're looking at in the DeSantis-Newsom debate is that this is the forecasting or the foreshadowing of what could be the two number twos becoming the two number ones, and who knows what may happen between now and Election Day. That's my thought.
You're saying it's the Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, 1979 National Championship, Michigan State, Indiana State or something, right?
I don't think I said that. No, I don't think I said that at all.
It's the foreshadow because it is magic and Bird throughout the 80s with the Celtics and the Lakers.
Well, it was indeed. That's very interesting. I don't think I would have drawn that comparison, but I like it. All right, we're going to take a break, fellas. Appreciate you. Lively discourse. Hang on. We'll be right back for round two with Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News and Dale Jackson from WVNN up there yonder in Huntsville. And, oh, by the way, with Yellowhammer News and just little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, we're right now back with the Grand Council, Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville and Yellowhammer News, and me. And round two, by the way, fellas, I want to make sure you know that I just copied you both in the tweet in which I made it known that the debate between Tim Lockett and Jeff Poore, that Dale Jackson and I will gladly moderate the public debate and that the public deserves the opportunity to have journalism debated at that level. Just saying. It's out there. Jeff, your question. What you got?
Number one, hard pass. Number two, what should Barry Moore's next move be? So here he is, newly drawn congressional district. He's got a few options here. He can run against Jerry Carl, where he lives, in the first congressional district. He can run in the second congressional district, even though he doesn't live there. Or is there a third option? Can he do something else?
I mean, I'll jump on it. I think he could always do something else. I mean, there's always a do something else mode. I mean, who knows? There might be a position like running for a mayor of his hometown. But I think this. He's been – you and I had a conversation, Jeff, about this. In fact, I think you're the one who told me that in the last election cycle, or not election cycle, but a cycle or two ago when Jerry Carl beat Hightower in the runoff, he didn't win Baldwin County. So that means that there's an opportunity here for a conservative in Coffee County like Barry Moore to come over to Baldwin and scarf up some serious votes and still win the Wiregrass because that's where he's from. And I think he's going to run. I think he has to run where he lives. I don't think he can abandon where he lives to go try and stay in office, which is what it would look like. I think he needs to run where he lives. That's my thought. Dale?
Yeah, I don't see how he makes that leap. I mean, maybe there's a reason to do it, and you just blame the courts, and you say, they made me do this. They're trying to take this seat from us. I think that will play very well. Is that up for discussion, Jeff?
No, but it's been brought up, and there's been some political consultants that have talked about it, but I don't think he's going to run in the second congressional district. You know, like, it just misses his house by, I don't know, like 15 miles or something. So drew him out by the skin of his teeth.
Yeah, they did. The whole thing just bugs the crap out of me, I'll be honest. I mean, I look at it and think, if you look at that whole redrawing of the district lines, I said it earlier, the fact that they turned in performance evaluations in it where they said, and guess what? The black candidate wins 16 out of 17 times. Well, that clearly means they weren't trying to provide an opportunity. They were merely trying to provide a win, period. That's what they wanted, was a win.
Well, they also protected Terry Sewell.
And
like,
they did.
They really, really protected her. And I'll ask you this kind of second part of my question here. What is the city of Selma? Who does it have more in common with, Birmingham or Montgomery?
Selma?
Selma.
I would say Montgomery. That's my thought, but I'm not from Selma. I've never lived the on the ground there, so to speak. I mean, what were you thinking?
Well, because it's in the Montgomery media market. It's like 50 miles from downtown Montgomery. It is very little to do with Birmingham. But they drew Selma as so much of its communities of interest stuff. They put it in a congressional district with Birmingham, not Montgomery.
Yeah, I mean, when people think of the word Selma, they think of things like the Selma to Montgomery march. They don't think about the Selma to Birmingham march. I mean,
right.
It doesn't ring together, so to speak. Dale, chime in.
Well, I think you guys are right, and I think we are learning, obviously, more and more. Not that either none of us needed this, but it tells the audience and everyone else that this was done to provide a Democrat opportunity. Not a black opportunity, a Democrat opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what this is really about.
Next question, Dale, what do you got?
All right, so I think we're hearing a unified front from our two United States senators, Katie Britt and Tommy Tuberville. Britt was standing behind Lindsey Graham today when he said, look, we'll shut the government down if you don't fix the border. And then Mitch McConnell comes up and says, if you shut the government down, you're opening the border. So I don't know how it'd be any different if we actually did that, but let's just say that that's the argument. Are you surprised to see Katie Britt standing there metaphorically, or I guess symbolically, with Tommy Tuberville and actually with Lindsey Graham, while Mitch McConnell is out there making the counter argument?
Well, first of all, I'm not surprised by Mitch McConnell. The guy is he's the uniparty, aging, decrepit individual. I think he is. I mean, I think he's all about just maintaining status quo. Well, I never promised you a Republican wave in the Senate. I mean, come on. How lame a leadership is that? So you know, please just retire. Go see your grandkids. Do something different. Leave us alone. But as for Katie Britt, I'm actually not surprised. I mean, back during the campaign, all I could do was sort of hope she was going to wind up being someone who stood for conservative principles and took hard stands. And so far, she really is. So I'm not surprised based upon other things I've seen her do. Jeff?
Why? How does Mitch McConnell hold on to his power at this point? I mean, you know, it used to be, guys, when there was weakness in the Senate, and you can look at like Bill Frist, and you go through the last pre-McConnell majority of Republican caucus leaders, it was always this feeding frenzy. All it took was like an election loss or something like that. And this guy seems pretty untouchable to me. It's remarkable, but no, I do. I'm not surprised to see Katie Britt. She's doing what she's got to do. Will this last, though, I guess, is the question. Is Katie Britt in it for the long haul? Will she stay, or will she eventually evolve into like a Richard Shelby type figure in the U.S. Senate?
Yeah. All right. So I right now, I think she's not a surprise. I think it's what we got, and I think she's proven herself to be somebody right now who will take the stand. So I agree. I hope it stays. All right. Last question. Very little time. James Comer just came out and said that not only have they found cash wire transactions to Hunter Biden from China, but that Hunter Biden listed Joe Biden's home address as the location where they were to be sent. Is Biden going to have to drop out? Is Biden finally out? Are they going to get Biden? Quick answers. Jeff.
No, and we keep hearing this. Nothing ever comes of these things. I'm still looking for what happened on Benghazi, right? So don't
Dale.
Get gross up, guys.
Is this where they get him? No, I don't think so. I think they're just doing to him what they did to Trump, death by a thousand cuts. That's what we're getting here, and we will continue seeing that throughout this entire campaign.
It's a thousand cuts, but these actually bleed, whereas Trump never really bled. He just had
he
to suffer through
it. Day.
He did on Election Day. But I think that's a whole different story, too. All right, fellers, appreciate you. Great run. That's Jeff Poor from the Jeff Poor Show, FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile and 1819 News, and Dale Jackson, the Dale Jackson Show, WVNN up in Huntsville, and writing for Yellowhammer News. We call it the Grand Council. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.